Welcome, friends, to Living the Adventure. I'm your radio host, George Runyon, and I'm so glad you have joined us as we study together God's Word. I hope you can go on this journey with me every Sunday at 6:30 here on GOD Radio 1 as we learn how to develop our relationship with the Holy Spirit. Be sure to invite a friend to listen each Sunday at 6:30 with you. Thank you to all who listen and support these broadcasts in helping defray the financial costs. Your help is very much appreciated. Please drop us a note and let us know you're listening and give us your comments on the program. You can write us at CCM, that's City Church Ministries, CCM, P.O. Box 152-388, San Diego, California, 92195. Now let's pray and begin today's lesson as we continue to consider developing our relationship with the Holy Spirit. Father, in Jesus' name, we humble ourselves before you and just confess how desperately we need you to help us have understanding of your word and the power of the Spirit to apply your word in our everyday life as we walk this walk with the King. We give you the glory and the praise as you help us today as we look at the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And we give you glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, last week, we started talking about the fruit of the Spirit. And we spoke about the scripture that speaks about letting the Spirit reign in our heart. And this was the goal that God had in mind, that the Holy Spirit would come and bring the life of Christ inside of us and reign through us as yielded vessels. And so we are so grateful that the Spirit of God has come to convince the world of sin and righteousness and judgment and comes to produce that righteousness in and through us as we live for the Lord. And then we spoke about the Spirit of God came to lead us. The Bible says in Romans 8:14, all who are being led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. The evidence of sonship is in the leadership of the Holy Spirit. What a beautiful thing Paul gives us there. And then the Bible calls us to walk by the Spirit. Galatians 5:16, I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. You see, the flesh wars against the Spirit, and the Spirit wars against the flesh. And now we started talking about the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit last week, and we talked about love as a beginning point. Galatians 5:22 lists the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. There is no law against the work of the Spirit. And so we began talking about the area of love that the Spirit of God brings forth in our life. And then we also looked at the fruit of the Spirit is joy, as we see there in Galatians 5:22, once again. It's part of that list of the work of the Spirit. And so today we're going to continue with those thoughts, and we're going to be talking about the fruit of the Spirit is peace. Galatians 5:22 again mentions the fruit of the Spirit is peace. We're going to see that all of these together are the fruit of the Spirit. They're not broken up. Somebody doesn't get love. Somebody else gets peace. No, it all works together. We're going to see that as we study this. Romans 14:17, Paul puts peace before joy. But there in Galatians, he lists joy before peace. Listen to Romans 14:17. It says that the Spirit of God, when he comes, will bring forth righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. In Paul's letter to the Galatians, he is speaking of the attributes of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit brings his joy out of his love. When that joy is experienced, supernatural peace becomes the result. See, all three of those work together. The love of God brings forth the joy of God, and the ultimate outcome of joy is peace. And so it's wonderful how Paul outlines all of this in Galatians chapter 5. If you ever want to go back and review that, it's so important. So he's speaking of the attributes of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit brings his joy out of his love. And when that joy is experienced, supernatural peace becomes the result. It's worth repeating, which I just did. The world is constantly trying to find peace, whether individually or among the nations. The efforts are futile if they are not predicated upon God's righteousness. Only God's righteousness can produce lasting peace. The scriptures declare that the peace of God that surpasses all comprehension shall guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:7. Peace is not the static but dynamic, but is dynamic in nature. Peace is not static but dynamic in nature. Let me say that again for clarity. The peace of God guards our hearts from the intrusion of subtle deceptions of the enemy and allows us freedom to live freely in Christ. A number of questions are worth considering. Do you enjoy the peace of your salvation? Do you have peace in your life that the righteousness of Christ is sufficient to cause you to be accepted in the Beloved? Do you experience the peace of God guarding your heart? If you have that supernatural peace, rejoice in the Lord and give him thanks, because many people do not have what you have, if that's the case. Make sure that you share God's love with those you meet who do not enjoy peace, the peace you enjoy. Give them an opportunity to receive and experience the peace you have received. Oh my goodness, this is called testifying to what you have in Christ. If you do not have the peace of which the scriptures speak, that can change today. Invite the Holy Spirit to show you what you must do to receive the peace of God's kingdom. Wait upon him for his counsel. Give up whatever he shows you and receive what he desires to give you. Father, we thank you for your peace that is available to us in the Holy Spirit. Teach each of us how to daily enter into your peace that surpasses all comprehension and guards our heart and our mind through Christ Jesus. Help me to be able to lead others to that peace. Now let's look at the Spirit of the Lord that produces patience, which is also mentioned there in Galatians 5:22. Patience is a direct result of peace. Amen? In fact, you really cannot have patience unless you're walking in peace. We begin to see how the fruit of the Spirit is singular and cumulative altogether. In other words, one part of the fruit leads to another. Jesus said, "Count it all joy when you encounter various trials," in James chapter 1, verse 2. Or James said that, I should say, in James chapter 1, verse 2. Count it all joy when you encounter various trials. True character is formed in the trenches. An older friend who is a minister was listening to a younger man talk about his own ministry experiences. The older minister was intently looking at the younger man. The younger minister asked, "What are you looking at?" My friend answered, "I'm looking for the scars." You see, if you've been walking with Jesus any period of time, you're going to experience trials and tribulations. The Bible promises that. The enemy's going to keep trying to get at you. But so sometimes we end up with some scars from the battles. And so, it's easy to talk about having peace and walking through problems if you're not going through a trouble. It's easier to talk about it, but after you've gone through the troubles and you've been challenged, now it becomes real that you can talk about peace because you've got the scars to prove that you've been through the battle. The scriptures teach the testing of our faith produces endurance, James chapter 1, verse 3. In the King James Version, endurance is translated patience. "I am grateful for all the difficult times I have known in my life. although at the time I did not like it one bit. Today I can see how the Lord used tests beyond my strength and wounds too deep to heal. Without His grace, each trial became a new challenge to overcome and an instrument of discipline of God's great love in my life. I know now each trial and wound helped to form Christ in me. I like what Paul said, Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid a hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting the things that are behind, what lies behind, and reaching forward to what is ahead, I press toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Philippians 3:13-15. In this verse, Paul captures the essence of what patience is about. It's about waiting on the Lord, about pressing through, reaching up to Christ, and experiencing Christ pulling you up and walking you through whatever the situation is. Paul was a man who knew rejection, prison, and beatings. He was misunderstood and was even left for dead. Yet he never lost sight of the goal. He never turned his back and gave up. He cried out to the Lord 3 times for help. After the 3rd time, Jesus spoke to Paul and assured him that his grace was sufficient for Paul. The Lord told Paul that his power is perfected in weakness. 2 Corinthians 12:8-9. Today, those words are for us as well. Determined to be a man or woman of patience. Ask the Holy Spirit to strengthen you as you walk through the various trials of your faith. Ask the Holy Spirit to give you grace sufficient for each situation. So pray, thanking the Holy Spirit for being your helper in all things. Verbalize that you submit your weaknesses to Him. Ask Him to help you to receive patience out of every trial so that His character would be formed and manifested in your life. Remember the kindness of God. That's our theme here. Again, in Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is kindness. Let's consider that for a moment here. Out of patience flows kindness. Impatience always produces unkindness, whether it would be in words or in attitude. The Lord has shown great kindness in Christ to all humanity. Throughout the Scripture, we are reminded of God's kindness towards His people. I love what the psalmist wrote. He is gracious and compassionate and righteous. It is well with the man who is gracious and he lends. He is gracious and compassionate and righteous. It is well with the man who is gracious and lends. Psalms 112:4-5. Kindness speaks of graciousness and compassion. It is so easy to forget the needs of others and get caught up with our own situation and circumstances. The kind person not only has a pleasant attitude, but is aware of other people's needs, always ready to help when possible. The Spirit of God is never harsh. At times He may be stern in His correction, but is always in the spirit of kindness. The Holy Spirit desires to help us control our words. Have you noticed how easy an unkind word can slip from your mouth? This is especially true with family members or people with whom we have close relationship. Familiarity causes one to speak before we think. The Apostle James provided a good understanding concerning the use of words. Everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. James 1:19. Wow, what an encouragement. Everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Wonderful. Again, in James 1:26, we are warned that we are deceived if we think of ourselves to be religious and do not bridle our tongues. This type of deception is a deception of the heart. The psalmist David experienced the kindness of God. David declared that God's kindness is better than life itself. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands to the in your name. Psalm 63, 3 through 4. Celebrate the kindness of God as David did. Meditate on his kindness. How many ways has he been gracious and compassionate toward you? How often have you not responded with kindness toward others? Will you let your lips praise him? And will you bless the God of your salvation? Will you allow him to release his kindness through you to others as you encounter people in your daily walk? Many experience kindness on a daily basis. Let unkindness on a daily basis. Let kindness rise up in you and give another this part of God's character through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we pray, asking God to help us in these things. Holy Spirit, we pray for kindness and to be developed in us all the days of our life. Lord, we ask you to help us share kindness with others that you've extended to us. Lord, we ask you to help us to have kindness on our lips. As the Bible says, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. As the scripture says, let there be a prayer from the heart of me. And God promises that goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life. Let's consider that, the fruit of goodness that we find in Galatians 5:22. Goodness is the result of the righteousness of Christ established in one's life through the goodness of God. It is the goodness of God that leads us to repentance, Romans 2:4 tells us. The New American Standard Bible says it is the kindness of God that leads us to repentance. Goodness and kindness are very closely related. Paul told the church at Rome that he was convinced they were full of goodness. He related goodness to what they knew in Christ for the purpose of admonishing one another, Romans 15:14. Taking the time to encourage others comes from goodness. Paul says that the fruit of light is rooted in goodness, Ephesians 5:9. Paul links goodness to a desire God has for the life of the believer. To this end, we pray for you always that our God will count you worthy of your calling and fulfill all your desire for goodness and work of faith with power, 2 Thessalonians 1:11. Paul links goodness with the free will. Without your consent, I did not want to do anything so that your goodness would not be in effect. Wow. Philippians 1:14. By compulsion, but your own free will. Let me say that again. Paul's encouraging them, and he didn't want anything to come so that their goodness would not be in effect. By compulsion. In other words, he's saying, I'm not compelling you to be good, but of your own free will, you choose goodness. So he brings free will into focus here when he's encouraging the Philemon in chapter 1, verse 14. Goodness begins with God's love towards us. Goodness continues as it becomes part of our nature through the work of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God is always at work to manifest God. This can only happen as we grow in the knowledge of Christ. This knowledge is not only about him, but what he desires for us to impart to others. He has called each of us to admonish and encourage one another in our walk as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. The manifestation of goodness in our daily walk is evidence that we have embraced God's light. two areas that reveal God's goodness, our strong desire for goodness and how goodness flows out of our free will without any compulsion on the part of others. Father, we thank you right now for your goodness in leading us to repentance. Thank you for helping us turn from our old ways of thinking. Thank you for giving us your supernatural way of thinking, which comes from your holy word. Father, help each of us beware of any darkness which may still be in our lives. I desire to be full of goodness and be freely encouraged others to receive the goodness of God. Wow, that's a wonderful prayer to pray on a daily basis. Now let's look at unbelief that does not nullify God's faithfulness. Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is faithfulness. The fruit of the Spirit flows out of God himself. Faithfulness originates with our Heavenly Father, as do all of these attributes. When Jesus judged the religious leaders of his day, as recorded in Matthew 23, he pointed out their neglect of the weightier matters of the law, recorded in Micah 6:8. He accused them of neglecting justice, mercy, and faithfulness. Faithfulness is associated with humility. Faithfulness relates to another person's interest. It takes humility in order to be faithful. Our first priority in faithfulness is toward God. We need to be faithful in his interests, faithful in his will, faithful to all other believers, and faithful to share each with those still separated from God, God's love revealed in Christ the Lord. We begin to learn about faithfulness as we make reading God's word a priority. Through the word of God, we learn of his desire to reveal Christ in us. The word of God is the primary way the Spirit of God instructs each of us. He will give us power to be faithful to his instructions as we allow him to control our thinking and our actions. At times, he will reprove us in order to bring us our thoughts into alignment with his own. He brings correction as needed to establish our life in Christ's righteousness. Our life in prayer is as important as our relationship with our Father in His Word. We need to hear God's still, small voice. Every believer is called to be faithful in praying for others. Jesus has invited us to participate with him in his ministry of intercession. The scriptures declare he ever lives to make intercession for us, Hebrews 2:17 and 7:25. It is our responsibility to pray faithfully as well. There are two specific areas the Lord Jesus commanded us to ask the Father. First, pray for his kingdom to come and his will to be done on earth. Second, that we must pray faithfully for God to send laborers into his harvest. Those are the two areas that the Lord Jesus instructed his disciples in. Father, we thank you for this instruction of the Holy Spirit to strengthen me in my faithfulness. I ask for the greater commitment to your interests. I ask for faithfulness towards my brothers and sisters in Christ, witness of your kingdom to those around me. Lord, that I might bear witness of you in a faithful way is what I'm asking. Next week, we'll pick up with the word gentleness as we consider these attributes of the Holy Spirit. Father, thank you for this time you've allowed us to have together this evening. We ask your blessing and favor upon the word that, Lord, it would go deeply inside of us and instruct us on a daily basis and lead us, Father, into the fruit of the Holy Spirit. May we be a people that demonstrate the fruit of God, the evidence of God in our life through the wonderful fruit of the Spirit that you've outlined in Galatians. We thank you for your help. Now, thank you for joining us this evening. In closing, let me just say, Thank you for joining us today. If you would like a copy of one of my books, go to our website, www.sdccm.org/shop, and the order form is there. Your contribution helps us with the broadcast time. Please drop us a note and let us know that you're listening, and give us your comments on the program. Again, you can write us at CCM, P.O. Box 152-388, San Diego, California, 92195. Thank you, and remember, walk with the King and be a witness for him to others, and help others to come to know our King, the King of Glory. God bless you.